Hey everyone, this is Jennifer and this is the Dwelling Witchly Bible Study. I'm so glad you're here. We've got a really unique lesson again today. We don't normally do this, but today what we're going to do is take a larger passage of scripture and we're actually going to take 2 days to cover it. So this will be a longer video than normal, but I'm going to encourage you, you can do it in one sitting if you'd want, but I'm going to encourage you to maybe pause it and pick it up later. But I'm just going to go ahead and record the whole thing in one sitting, but I've written the study for you to be able to take this big passage of scripture and take 2 days to cover it. Normally we do day 8 and then we do day 9 and 10 together. Today in our lesson, we're going to do 8 and 9 together and then tomorrow we'll do day 10. All that to say, welcome. And I'm glad that you're here with me. We're in lesson 4. And again, this is days 8 and 9 together in one lesson. And I hope you're with a friend or just in a good spot right now, thinking about a friend maybe that you'd like to be with in this Bible study. But hopefully you're around the table with some friends doing your Bible study together. And for sure, you're with me doing Bible study together. And I'm glad that I could be with you. I wish I could be with you in person, but thank you for being here. And don't forget to say hi, drop a comment, and let me know that you're listening. It's always fun to read those and to see who's out there doing Bible study with us together. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump into today's study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for our time together to be in your word. It's alive, it's powerful, it changes us, it helps us to connect with you and to know ourselves better because of that. So we ask that you will go before us in this lesson today. Help us to really understand the word, to see beyond just black and white print on page, but to really know that these are your living, powerful words in our life. Thank you for that time that we have together right now, and we just ask that you'd bless it to the glory of your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go for it. I'm going to switch screens here, like always, and there it is. Hi. All right. So as it says right here in your lesson, this is days 8 and 9 of lesson 4. We're going to be reading Acts 5:33-42. But first, let's go ahead over and do our memory verse and writing of Acts, which were, I think this is our last passage today. Yeah. Ending on verse 31. All right. I've got it. Hello. Something in my mouth. It's weird. Lovely. All right. So here we go. Acts 4:29, our memory verse. How are you doing on it? It's pretty simple. Let's go ahead and say it together. Ready? Acts 5:29. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." That's it. Super simple to memorize. Is it simple to do? I don't know. It is. It isn't for me. All right. Let me go ahead and read our passage for the day from Acts 5:27-32. Wait, is that right? 27 through 32? No. Oh, I didn't hit refresh again. I did this the other day too. Acts 5:33-42. Let me hit refresh and the little blues. There it is. Double check that I got that right. 33 to 42. There we go. Good. Let's see what other little issues will come up today as we do our Bible study together. Here we go. Acts 5:33-42. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. And if you were with us yesterday, you remember who was enraged? The Sadducees, the religious leaders. They were enraged. They wanted to kill him. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him, and he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice And when they had called the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Jesus is, that the Christ is Jesus. A lot to unpack there today. That's why we're going to take this passage, and rather than break it up, I just want us to flow with it. And so I've divided it for you for convenience into two lessons or 2 days, you know. So feel free to do that. I try to organize the Bible study, so it should take you about 20 to 30 minutes to do. And I know, because some of you have told me, you get on a roll and you just go and go and go, and you rabbit trail with this study and dig into that word, and that's awesome. Good. One of the ways I want to encourage people to do is that exact thing, but then also to be realistic that you have a job, you have a family, you have responsibilities. And so it can be discouraging when you feel like your Bible study is taking a lot of time. And then you might end up putting it aside because it takes too long. So I've tried to organize the Bible study so it's 20 to 30, maybe 35 minutes on a longer day to get the study done so that you don't become discouraged. And certainly we can all find 20 to 35 minutes a day to get into God's word, right? I mean, really, it'd be wonderful if we had even more time. I guess that's why people start monasteries, so they could just be a monk and live up in the hills somewhere and make beer and wine and eat cheese and crackers and just study God's word all day, or write God's word, which is a lot of what the monks did. But I digress. Anyway, back to our lesson. So we're going to take 2 days is the point of this lesson here. So here we go. All right. I review Acts 5, 17 through 42, and note the emotions expressed by the religious leaders. Write the verse, emotion, reason, and finally the result of each emotion. And I've thought this through on my own, and I'm going somewhere with this, as always. So hang in there with me. Why are we focusing on emotion, and what does that even have to do with anything? But let's take a look at some passages that we've already seen that list these emotions, and see if we can kind of get my drift of what I'm doing. So here we go. But the high priest rose up, and all who are with him, that is the party of Sadducees, and filled with jealousy. Remember that? And as we continued on, and we read this the other day, we talked about this emotion. They were afraid of being stoned by the people. When they brought them before the council, the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charge you not to teach in this name. Here you have filled Jerusalem with this teaching. You intend to bring this man's blood upon us." He says we must obey God rather than men. And you killed, hanged on the tree and all that. But I wanted to get to this other part here, back to our scripture. So then they hear this, what Peter just says, and they were enraged and they wanted to kill him. Highlight that in your Bible. But Gamaliel comes out. He reasons with them. He says, "You know, don't do that." And he gives them the two reasons, which we just read. You just heard that. And so they take his advice, and I think that's the end of the feed. They charge the name of Jesus, cease teaching. Okay, so that's pretty much it. All right, so back to our lesson, and we're gonna list the verse that we see the emotion that's listed, the reason for the emotional response, and then the result of that emotional response. All right, so get back to my notes here. All right. So chapter 5, verse 17, we see that a first emotion listed, this jealousy that they have. And why is it? Well, because, you know, the apostles are getting all this attention from the people. They were used to being the main show. Everyone came to the temple to hear them, and they're hearing the apostles. So they're jealous. And so what is the result? They end up arresting them. All right. So moving to verse 26, they have fear. What's the reason? Their fear of the people that could stone them if they treat the apostles harshly. So they've got jealousy because of what they're seeing the apostles do. They've got fear of the people. And what's the result of that one? Well, they end up bringing the apostles in gently, not with force. All right. And then finally in verse 33, what emotion do we see expressed? They're enraged, it says. Enraged because the apostles give testimony to the resurrection. Remember, they flat out deny the resurrection. And they're furious about that. And they're saying, you're going to bring this man's blood upon us. And Peter says, you are the ones who hung him on a tree. And they, and then they respond, you're going to bring this man's blood upon us. You're going to blame us for all of this. And so they're enraged because they are confronted with the truth of the gospel. And so what do they want to do? They want to kill him. They want to kill him right there on the spot. And then they end up not doing that. They just beat him and they let them go. Why? Because, you know, Gamaliel intercedes. All right. So we have the three emotions, jealousy, fear, and enraged. Mark those in your Bible, you know, pencil them, circle them. Sometimes I do strong emotions and I'll put double underline under things like that. Wait, double under wavy lines with emotions that are strong, just to kind of show that emotional response. Okay, here we go. So think back through each of the emotional responses of the religious leaders, the reason and the final result. How did God use each of those moments for his glory and for the fulfillment of Acts 1:8? That was our very first memory verse. It's kind of the theme of all of Acts. And so let's review that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. So we have this strong emotional response, and the disciples are continuing in the power of the Holy Spirit. They're praying that God will let them have a testimony, and they continue to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. So we've got this jealousy and this fear and finally being enraged. How does God use each of those moments for his glory? Well, he fulfills the promise through because of the prayer of the apostles that they would continue to speak. And they do continue to speak. And then they're bold in their speaking, and they're accurate, and they're truthful. And they grow in favor with the people, and they have the disfavor, of course, of the leaders. And God's continuing to fulfill Acts 1:8. Why? Because people from outside of Jerusalem, it says in the previous lesson, we talked about how they were coming in from villages outside of Jerusalem just to let Peter's shadow fall over them. It's powerful stuff. All right. So what happens to temper the Sadducees' rage and abort their mission, at least for now? All right. This guy Gamaliel speaks up. He says, all right, guys, put the brakes on. And he gives him a little history lesson, right? So who is Gamaliel? Well, he is a very highly esteemed leader. And let me go back to that passage so you can see. And he says to them, Pharisee, the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by the people. He stands up and they listen to him. What does Gamaliel ask the council to do in Acts 5:35? Just hop back over to that real quick. And he says, take care what you're about to do with these men. Whoa, simmer down. Be careful. Think about this next move. He's asking them to be strategic. Think it through. Don't just run on their emotions, which is what they've been running on. Jealousy and fear and now rage. Simmer down. Take care. Think it through. Okay. What examples from Jewish history does Gamaliel use to support his counsel? It's fascinating, really. And you can look and research a little bit more about these guys. But he cites Theudas and Judas the Galilean and how they had followers temporarily, but it all came to nothing because these guys died and their followers were distributed or dispersed. All right. What does Gamaliel say happened to Theudas and Judas the Galilean? Well, he says, find out the spot here. Theudas, 400 joined him. He was killed. All who followed him are dispersed. And Judas the Galilean rises up and then he dies. He too perished. He says, it doesn't say he was killed, it just says he dies. So that's an interesting part of that story. And note the timeline. And that detail that Gamaliel offers here about Judas the Galilean, when did he rise up? Let's take a look at what he says here about Judas the Galilean. He says, after him, after Theudas, Judas the Galilean rises up in the days of the census. Ah, interesting. I don't know if you recall from the last lesson that we talked about, I said, you know, when you see interesting words and phrases, do a concordance search on those words, phrases, even numbers, and look up numbers and see where else they occur and see if you can gain some insight from that. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 2. And I'm sure you already are thinking about this because it's a pretty famous passage. We even hear it in just the Peanuts cartoon Christmas. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So we have this. So I'm going to open up that passage a little bit better so you can see all of that. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. Now, that's a pretty famous passage again, because again, I think that's the one that appears in the Snoopy Christmas special, right? Where Linus, I'm like, who is the kid who gets up and reads that? But he recites this whole passage, right? And I'm used to reading it out of a different translation where it says the word census right in there, but you get the idea. All right, let me back that up. Okay. So what's the significant about the rise of Judas in the timeline of Jesus? Well, Jesus existed during the census period. Jesus was born. That was the whole reason why Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem, because they had to return to the town of their birth, Joseph's birth, and be counted in the census. And this is exactly where Jesus ends up being born. Pretty cool. How are the accounts of Theudas, Judas the Galilean, and Jesus of Nazareth similar? All right, so they all have followings of people, and they all died. That's how they're similar. They all rise up during this similar period of time. I'm not sure exactly about Theudas. I'd have to do some more research on when he actually lived, but Judas the Galilean, it says it right there. He rises up during the time of the census. And then, of course, Jesus is born in that time period. And so similarity-wise, they all have followers, and all three of them die. What is the significant difference between their lives? Well, obviously, Judas and Theudas are dead still. And no, they still have no followers. And Jesus Christ is alive, right, of course, and has fulfilled Acts 1:8, that the message of his life has gone out to the ends of the earth. Awesome. All right, so draw a line in your Bible connecting Gamaliel's words about the demise of the false teachers, Theudas and Judas, in 5:36 and 37, and connect back to Peter's words about Christ in 5:30 to 31. And let's see, I don't think I have that called up and ready. I can do that pretty easily. Do I? 30 and 31. Oh yeah. He says, the God of our fathers raised Jesus. So these guys aren't raised. These guys are, Judas and Theudas are dead, but Jesus was raised. He was killed by them, crucified, hung on a tree. And Judas and Theudas died at the hands of men, or perished on their own. And stayed dead, and Jesus here is raised by God. Okay. So what is Gamaliel's advice in Acts 5:38a, that first portion right there? Let's go to that. Oops. Let me get that up there. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men. Let them alone. Just stay away. Don't mess around with these guys. Just leave it be. What is Gamaliel's caution for the council in 38b through 39? What's ironic about what he tells them? All right. So he says, for if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it's of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. What's ironic about that? What's ironic about that? Drop your comments in. I mean, what did you write down? Let me hear it. Share it. Post it. I kind of don't want to say. I want to hear it from you. Yes, exactly. That they literally are opposing God. They already are opposing God. The Holy Spirit has come. Pentecost has happened. They're speaking in tongues. Jesus is risen from the dead and alive and seated at the right hand of the Father. They are literally right now in this moment opposing God. Right? And he says that you're going to be found to be opposing God potentially. All right. Let's see. Lamentations 3:37. We're going to write that verse out. Such a great verse. Let me call that up here. Who has spoken and it came to pass? unless the Lord has commanded it. Beautiful reminder of the sovereignty of God. Who has spoken and it came to pass, unless the Lord has commanded it? The words that I'm speaking, the words of all of the prophets, the words of anyone who speaks in the name of Jesus Christ, these are the words that God will bring to pass. When we speak the truths of God's word, they will come to pass. Who has spoken it and it came to pass, unless the Lord commanded it? In other words, God is sovereign. God is in charge. All right. And once again, like I said earlier in the opening of this lesson, this is a lesson for you to pause at any time. And remember, we're covering, taking 2 days to cover this. It might be going smoothly enough for you to go ahead and do this in one sitting, but it's designed for you to go ahead and take 2 days to cover it. So this might be a good point to pause and come back at another sitting. So Gamaliel was the most highly regarded Pharisee of his day. And many regarded him as one of the greatest in all Judaism to this day. Does his advice seem wise to you, biblically sound? Why or why not? So this is a good question for you to voice in right now. Type in your answer and share that. Take a look at his advice. Does it even seem wise to you? Let's take a look at it again. Oh, right there. He says, keep away. If the plan or undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So what do you think? Is his advice wise? Is his advice biblically sound? And support your answer. Tell me why you think his advice is wise or not. And if it's biblically sound or not, I'll share my thoughts. I'll share my thoughts on that when we come back for our teaching time in a few days. All right, so consider Gamaliel's advice in light of the apostles' prayer in Acts 4:28. What connection do you see? Let's go back to Acts 4:28. And there we go. Saying, we strictly, oh, that's not it. 4:28. Oh, that's 5. Oh, did I not call 4:28 up? Oh, I did. There it is. All right. To do whatever your hand and your plan has predestined to take place. Remember, this is part of the prayer. We've been writing this, I hope. This is part of the prayer. And he's saying to God, you do whatever your hand and your plan has predestined to take place. And that's exactly what Peter had been praying. And that's exactly what Gamaliel is basically saying. Look, if this is of God, God's going to come out the victor in this. If it's not, then it'll just fail like Judas and Theudas did. Do you see that connection? Do you see the connection between the prayer and this advice that Gamaliel is given? And how does the council respond to his advice? So back over to here again. And he says, they take his advice. And I kind of think sort of they take his advice. In other words, he says, simmer down, leave them alone. And so when they call the apostles, they don't really leave them alone. They beat them and they charge them not to speak in the name of Jesus and they let them go. If they had taken Gamaliel's advice, don't you think they would have just not brought them back in at all? Or just brought them back in and said, all right, guys, carry on and we'll see. Really would be curious how you answered on this one. But they beat them and they charge them not to speak in the name of Jesus. All right, so how do the apostles end up responding to that? They leave the presence of the council. And how do they respond? They are rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer honor of the name. They're rejoicing. What was the result of this incident? It says right here, every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. How is this an answer to the apostles' prayer in Acts 4:29 to 30? If you notice, I'm kind of recycling you back. They pray it and it gets answered. They pray it and it gets answered. They pray it and it gets answered. How is this? Because they are bold. They prayed for boldness that they could continue to speak in the name of Jesus. And that's literally exactly what they do. They get told not to speak, they keep on speaking. They get told not to speak, they keep on speaking. Bold, bold, bold. Isn't it great? Do you have that boldness? Is that where your life is defined by? Are you defined by that kind of powerful prayer? Are you allowing yourself to receive and be placed into situations where you're going to be challenged to share your faith. And then when you are, that you are continually bold, it's pretty challenging, pretty exciting as well. All right. Review your response to question one on page 75. I'll hop over to there in a minute and compare the emotions of the religious leaders to that of the apostles. What difference do you see? So here we are back to 75. Emotions. We had jealousy and we had being enraged or fear, and then we had being enraged. And then we have the emotions of the apostles. Joy, absolute fearlessness, no jealousy at all, and complete joy. That they said they're rejoicing and they're following God and they're getting beat for it, but they still have all that joy. It's fabulous. All right. So reflect personally on how you respond to difficulty, challenges to your faith, or even just ways that you find jealousy, fear, or anger flaring up in your own life. What are the triggers? Who are you focusing on? How can the testimony of the apostles be an encouragement to you in your faith and your behavior today? Think about it. It's pretty powerful to think that they are literally, they're doing exactly what God asked them to do, and they're not getting any awards, not getting medals, not getting Volunteer of the Year recognition. They're getting beaten for it, and they are filled with joy instead of self-pity. I love this great reminder. Think about how you're responding in your life when the trials come, when hardship comes, when you're facing difficulty, and maybe righteously so, maybe because you really are out there sharing your faith. How are you responding? Are you questioning God? Are you discouraged? Are you wondering why or how? Or are you emboldened and filled with joy and confidence even greater because of what you're going through? That's how the apostles' lives are a testimony and an encouragement to me today. I'd love to know how that's an encouragement challenge to you as well. All right. Thank you for sticking around if you made it through this longer lesson here today. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. We'll have a short lesson tomorrow. I just want to go over and I'm going to show you how to do the craft. So we have a fun create and share tomorrow. So stick in there and come back tomorrow and I'll show you how to create that create and share. And so that you won't feel like, how do I even make this? I think you'll have fun with it too. All right. So as always, know that you are loved and prayed for. And I look forward to being back with you again real soon. Bye-bye for now.